Okay. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you this morning that you've got a message for all of us. Father, we all need to understand the love that you have for us. And what that love means, what through the blood of Jesus, what you've done for us. And so, Father, I thank you today that as I just roll, I give it to you, Father. And you lead me and guide me through the notes, or if you want to change it or do whatever you want to do. But I really do believe that people will be set free and delivered today from all of us, from just little, sometimes it's just little things, Father, we know that we don't understand. But Lord, we just give it to you. And I thank you for that deliverance today, for that freedom in people's lives to grasp your love that passes all understanding for each one of us. And we give you the praise and the glory for that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Turn first to John 3:16. At the moment, we're going by the notes. And that could change. You all know that. And everybody knows this scripture. But, when you are... how do I put this so it's not to come in a negative context, but when you're sidelined for a bit of time and you're limited in some of the things you can do, listen, if you'll listen, God, he'll use that time to help you with some things, and he'll help you reflect back and think, maybe I'd done this a little different, but praise God, he can restore that even when we messed it up. I love it when the grace of God even makes our mistakes to prosper. I use that quite often. I'm like, man, thank you. His grace is sufficient, and it's so big that he even makes our mistakes to prosper. But you got to be fully persuaded of it. You got to be fully convinced of it. Just like this, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, people, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Y'all know we're living in eternity right now. We just ain't crossed over to, we still got to live in this body in it until we pass from this life to the next. But this is eternity. That's hard for me to conceive. I have a hard time conceiving those things. But verse 17, for God did not send his Son Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned. And I'm going to stop right there on that part. Jesus didn't come to condemn us. God did. He wasn't condemned. He knew when Adam and Eve fell in the garden that he had to send a redeemer to redeem us and to bring us back in right relationship with him. And he knew that man would when Adam and Eve let sin into their lives, when they accepted a lie from the devil, then their thinking became perverted, for lack of a better word. But basically it did, because it took them from in a solid presence of the Lord and operating with the mind of Christ to being influenced. But doubt and fear entered in. They were influenced by doubts, and Satan's telling them, God, he didn't tell you you couldn't, that wasn't good for you, and they bit. Okay, we've done the same thing. Probably still going to do it a time or two before we depart this earth. Okay, we just need to accept that. It's going to happen. We're still in a fleshly body. We deal with pressures and things around us all the time. And you know what else we deal with? People. And we're a people. Say, I'm a people. Other people have to deal with me. when we can laugh and realize that those things are true, then we begin to realize we can laugh at Satan over him, because it's like, you know what? I ain't letting you get under my skin with that. I messed up. They messed up. So what? God didn't condemn me over this. Now go to Romans chapter 8. You know, Revelation 12:11 says we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So we're overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Speak in the word, declare in the word. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Romans chapter 8. Is there anybody not there? Say no. See, everybody's there. Okay, let's go to verse 31. When this is over, you need to, if you take the time sometime in the next few days, just read the whole 8th chapter of Romans and meditate on it. And then when you get down to this part, I want you to just, we got to meditate on this so we realize how much God loves us. I mean, if we don't believe God loves us, we can't receive everything God's provided for us. It's just the truth. It just won't, because the devil will use that to say, well, you're not worthy. You did this yesterday. You cussed that man on when he turned in front of you on the road. How many of y'all had to go get a driver's license lately? It's easier to cross the border. I have never seen so much paperwork and so many questions. I'll be 70 years old in 2 weeks. I've been driving since I was 14 years old. And they ask some really stupid questions. I had to go through about 4 different stations to get to the guy that's going to finish going over all those questions. Do they do that up here too? I mean, is this just Angelo? I don't know, but I'm like, and they want my passport. I'm like, what if I don't need a passport? But I couldn't get my license if I didn't have a passport. I couldn't renew it. I guess evidently, I asked Kathy Day, is it because we went out of the country and we now have a passport that they want to see your passport because they think maybe you changed nations or countries you live in? I don't know. But I'm going to tell you, Mike, if I can get a hold of anybody in the government to change some of these regulations, my first day of office, that is my first... what do they call them things that the president does? Executive order. We're going to eliminate some of that stuff. We ain't going there. Not happening. Y'all in Romans 8:31? 8:31. Okay. Man, let's get into this right here. My title is God's Everlasting Love. And it says, I'm going to read this, and then we're going to go back over it. And I got 6 or 7 points I want to make in the next 32 minutes. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? We are say, I'm God's elect. It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for me. Say for me. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things... we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This week, I mean, some of them are little things, but some of them are big things in our lives that the enemy is trying to use to tell us that God's condemned us, that we're not worthy, that we're just no good. You can't be of any influence in your area of influence because of what you've done, because of your past. You know what? Paul, who was first Saul, persecuted and killed Christians and wrote most of the New Testament, or a great deal of it. David, who was a man after God's own heart, killed a man and then took his wife. And he was a man after God's own heart. God finds no fault in you. I don't care what you and me have done in the past. If we're born again believers, that is in the past. God sent it. He doesn't remember it anymore. And the enemy tries to bring it back up in our lives so that we muffle our mouths. We refuse to speak because we're like, man, if they know about that, they're not going to believe me. Well, if they know we've been delivered and set free, maybe they need something they need to be delivered and set free from. And when we realize that God's no respecter of persons. If he chose Paul to fill that spot while he's still killing Christians, he forgave him, cleansed him from all unrighteousness. And once we've been cleansed, we're cleansed. If we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the first thing God did was cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't care how righteous you don't feel this morning, you are righteous. Some days, you just don't feel very righteous. But it doesn't matter. You know, a horse can walk in the barn and not feel like a horse, but he's still a horse. He has no identity crisis. There's no identity crisis here. Every one of us knows we're either a man or a woman. We accept that. We need to help others accept that. We just need to fulfill our destiny there. But just, okay, so let's go back over this point by point. Okay, verse 31, let's go back there. And I wrote these notes, and I'm going to do some paraphrasing, but we're going to start in verse 31. My first point, what shall we say? He said, what shall we say to these things? Now I want y'all to get vocal with me. I say, y'all say this with me. I say, if God is for me, who can be against me? That's point number one. If God's for us, who can be against us? There ain't nobody bigger than God. There ain't nobody got no more power than God. And when we submit ourselves unto God and resist the devil flees and the power of God flows in our lives. If God be for me, who can be against me? But I got to meditate on these things because we'll get fooled and we'll think, well, you know, anybody want to give me some examples of things that you might have done? Or you'd rather just not go there? I don't want to tell all on myself. Yeah, but if God's for us, who can be against us? We got to meditate on that till it gets so big in us that when Satan brings up something up that and he tries to say, you can't go there. Yes, I can. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God's for me. He forgave me. He cleansed me from all unrighteousness, and he's granted me boldness to speak his word. And when I speak it, you watch this, Satan. He's going to stretch his hand to heal, and signs and wonders are going to be done through the name of my Jesus. Because I was obedient to say it. If I'm willing and obedient, I'll eat the good of the land. If I obey and serve, I'm going to spend my days in prosperity, my years in pleasure. Nothing can stop that when we're fully persuaded that God loves us so much. Nothing can stop that. We become very effective. What shall I say? If God is for me, who can be against me? Verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I know God delivered Jesus up for me. This is what I wrote. I know God delivered Jesus up for me and has freely given me all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So say this with me. I know God delivered Jesus up for me. And through Jesus, God has freely given me all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We got all we need. You know, I can pitch Ricky the keys to my truck and say, there you go. You need some transportation? You got it. And Ricky could say, well, I'm really not worthy of it. Well, I know that, but still, I would run. I'm just kidding. Ricky and I, we can do these things to one another. God didn't say, I know that. It's like, Lord, I'm really not worthy. He said, son, you are now worthy of everything because of what Jesus did for you. And if you'll be a partaker of it, if you'll accept that, if you'll meditate on the fact that you're righteous in me, there's no weapon formed against you can prosper. If we don't want a weapon formed against us to prosper, we got to meditate on the word. We got Corey mentioned it, I think, last week or the service before when he preached. Proverbs 4:22, you know, attend unto my word. We got to get into this word and meditate on it and think about it and know that Jesus loves me so much that I'm righteous. Kathy doesn't think I am some days. No, she knows I'm righteous. She just doesn't think I act very righteous some days. And she's totally right. I don't. Some days I don't. Let's see. That was verse 32, right? I might turn the page too fast. Nope. Verse 33. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. You know, Romans chapter 5, it says, let's turn there right quick. Hold your spot there and turn back over to Romans 5 just a minute. Verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access. They have access by faith into his grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So not only that, verse 3, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been shed abroad, poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We are justified. Say, I'm justified by faith, because I'm strong in faith. See, when we choose to be strong in faith, and we choose to say, okay, God, I ain't comprehending, but I'm taking it. Yeah. Ricky said, I don't know why you gave me that truck, but okay, I'm kidding. Did you put diesel in it too? Yo, come on. Say, God, did you get her filled up? What else do I need here, Lord? What else you got to give me? We need to get to that point. Said, Lord, I'll take it all. And I'm going to use it like you'd have me to use it. And I'm going to be who you called me to be, because I'm righteous. I'm justified. I'm strong in you and the power of your mind. We got to get fully persuaded of it. Then we're blessed coming in, and we're blessed going out, and we're blessed in all that we set our hand unto. And you know what? Everybody around us notices it. And when they notice it, they ask questions. When they ask questions, God opened the door to set someone free from the traps and deceitfulness of sin. Or maybe just issues. It might be another believer that just needs to get convinced, fully persuaded that he's and she's righteous too. But we got to walk. We got to meditate. I'm telling you what. It takes some time. It takes some effort. It takes us being diligent. That's why he said in 2 Peter, be diligent to make your call and election sure. We got to be diligent, because the enemy's being diligent to try to steal it from us. Because if he gets it stole from us, we're ineffective. We get down to mully grubs, and we can't pay our bills, and we can't give enough to the church, and we can't buy the air conditioner we need. We can't do this or that. But when we get fully persuaded of who we are in Christ, those things just flow through us. This is the supernatural becomes natural to us, because we're flowing in it. We're fully persuaded. We're convinced. We know that we're a vessel fit for the Master's use, that God's put us here for such a time as this. We've been chosen, appointed, and anointed to go forth right now and bear fruit. So, say, that's me. Man, we just got to say, man, you know, verse, okay, 34, point 4. I get through all these. Man, I just really believe, is anybody getting any, are you understand? Are we grasping this morning? Okay, verse 34. I got to find it. I'm right there by it. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. So my notes. Who or what condemns me? Who or what's condemning you? What's bringing a charge against you? Nobody or anything, for Christ has died and was raised from the dead for me, and he sits at the right hand of God making intercession for me, for my success, for my being a partaker of his divine nature. There's nobody or anything that can condemn me. No, Satan, you cannot condemn me. I understand I messed up, but God don't condemn me. Jesus forgave me, past, present, and future. That's not a license to sin and do stupid things. It's a license to run back into the arms of God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. He's okay, come on, let's go on, move on. All right, Jesus died and forgave you. You've confessed it. You're forgiven. Don't sit over there and beat yourself up. Just go, as Jesus told the lady at the well, go and sin no more. Just stop that. Make a choice. Choose life. We just got to choose who we're going to serve today. We're going to serve the self, or are we going to serve Jesus? And there's some days, Sharon, we're going to make the wrong choice. You know, Kathy would have been so proud of me the other day when I got my driver's license. Because I'm sitting there with this man. I wanted to tell some of them, y'all need a lesson in manners. And the man I sat with, he hands my paper back to me. And there was a couple dumb questions on there I didn't understand. Maybe I'm dumb, okay? He hands it back and says, you didn't finish filling that out. I said, well, I'm already registered. One about vote, registered and vote. And I'm like, I'm registered to vote. Well, you didn't read the whole thing. So I read it. Checked yes, went on, you know. I don't know if that was the right answer or not, Ricky. But I did it. And I'm sitting there thinking, We got through, I looked at his name tag. I said, Mr. Weaver, you have a good afternoon and a great weekend. Well, thank you. And I'm like, I hope you do. You know? And I actually laughed with him. Roger, before I got done, you know, it was okay. You know? But, you know, I know those are little things, but if it's the little foxes that mess things up. It's when we let those little irritations get under our skin, and then something big comes along, and we're already aggravated, so we really jump off on the deep end. And we got out there to where we say, God, you're going to have to throw me a rope. I'm trying to run back, but I'm having a hard time getting there. And he'll throw it. He'll send it to us. So, who or what condemns me? Nobody. There's not one thing, okay? Now, verse 35. This is the next three verses, especially 35 and 37, okay? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Not one thing. I wrote this down. Who shall separate me from the love of Christ? I say nothing. You know, and that I say is because we need to say it out loud. There ain't nothing can separate me from the love of God. We need to get fully persuaded that not one thing I've done in my past that's not in line with the Word of God, or not one thing that yet I might do before I leave this earth that's not in line with the Word of God can separate me from His love. Nothing. Nothing. It doesn't matter. Remember, David murdered his head army officer in order to get his wife. Had he murdered? Same thing. It's kind of like all this border crossing stuff, you know. What they've allowed makes them accomplices to murder. You know. David repented. I got started on another deal that was the 7-10 things that, as to why David was called a man after God's own heart. And I'm like, Lord, I can't incorporate all that in one Sunday. But, man, it's really good reading. Because it's faith and trust. And when we get to these points where we think something can separate us from the love of God, and David realized, even though I had Uriah killed and I took Bathsheba as my wife and the kid died and things, you know, I mean, and God showed him where he messed up. And God will show us where we mess up if we humble ourselves. David humbled himself. He repented. He still experienced some consequences of his actions before it was all straightened out. But God straightened him out, and he you know, that's the lineage of Jesus. Because he was a man after God's own heart. And he's telling us, you know, just be after my heart. You know what? You can't mess up enough to get out from under my love. Verse 37, yea, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, for I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. Man, how much stronger does it have to get for us to realize that there's not one thing? I'm not asking anybody to volunteer any information. But you know what? If you have killed somebody, if you've stolen and you've never been caught, you know, they tell me, I mean, I've just heard it when he's preaching, that Jesse Duplantis is really, what's the right word here? He's very thankful that the statute of limitations has run out on some things he did before he was saved. I don't know if that's true or not, but I've heard Pastor George at Eagle Mountain, he said, Jesse's glad that some of the things that he did, those statute of limitations has run out. He can't be prosecuted for them now. He was in the mafia, pretty much. And so, you know, if a man of joy and realizes how much God loves him, Jesse does. Jackie Stevenson does. We need to meditate on those things and know that there's not one thing, nothing. All these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. If someone in here has had an abortion, if you killed somebody, God still loves you. He can't separate you from it. That can't separate you from his love. And it will, and if we just realize how much God loved us, and we begin to meditate and we begin to think about it, we become so effective in the kingdom, because there's others out there that Satan's trying to use that against them and tell them, you'll never be nothing. He ain't got room for you. And, you know, I've had friends, you know, that I have one couple that comes into mind that I've known since 1975 or 6, somewhere in there, college. Run into them a while back at a senior program, a couple years ago, actually. Invited them to church. Well, Rusty, you know what we've done. God, he don't want no part of us. But they laugh about it, too. And I don't know how to get through to those, Ricky. I don't, you know, you just keep living your life and like, no, God, you know, pray for them that their eyes be opened, because I don't have a word I can say to them that would convince them that God loves them enough to forgive them. Because, I mean, they ain't either one killed nobody. George, he was a little rank in college, but Corey said he was too, so maybe they get them together. Before, we always do a salvation, but before we do that, this morning, if you're having any, if you still got doubts after that God loves you so much, that there's anything you've done in your life that, and I got, oh, I'm sorry, if God, he just couldn't forgive me for that, you're wrong. And if that's you, and you want someone to agree with you, then we want to pray, we want to join with you. And don't have to say what it is, but if that's you, would you raise your hand? You just got some issues there? Okay, all right, anybody else? 1, 2. All right. Would you mind coming up? Rods, would you come up? Would y'all mind coming up? Would that be okay? Ricky, come help. Roger, would you come help? I'm going to try to walk down these steps. It's not real bad, but I want y'all to reach your hands up here, and I don't want to know what they are. That's between you and God. But we need to, I want y'all to realize, what's your name?
Ben.
Ben?
Matt.
Matt?
I got to get my real name? No. Brian.
Right. So Ben, Matt, and Brian, right? I'm right? Okay. And Roger. Father, they've made a statement this morning, Father, that they're having a hard time comprehending how much you love them. That they've done some things that they just don't see how you could forgive them for that or how it would make them effective. But Father, you just told us there's not one thing that anybody can come up with that's ever been created that can separate us from your love. And so, Lord, I thank you that right now the eyes of their understanding are open to that. They're being set free.
Yes.
There's things that, Father, you're revealing yourself to them in a manner which you have, yes, that they've never had revealed that way before.
Yes.
They're coming to the revelation and realization that you love them so much you gave Jesus for them.
Yes.
And not only did you give, he give his life for them, he cleansed them from all unrighteousness.
Yes.
There's not one thing can separate them from your love. And Father, I say right now, they know that.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. It goes down into their knower like they've never known it before.
Yes.
And Lord, I thank you this morning. You said if I'd speak your word boldly, you'd confirm it with accompanying signs. You'd stretch out your hand to heal. We're not doing anything. We're just coming up here obeying and serving you. And you're doing it, Father. Not one thing we do. But Father, I thank you. You stretch out your hand to heal. And you touch each one of them in a manner that they've never been touched before. And they realize your love. And they walk out of here free from whatever that was, in Jesus' name. Amen. And I thank you. God said, when you confess me before men, I confess you before the Father. Know that. Thank y'all. Ricky, don't go yet. I got to go back up.
Oh.
I just don't want to trip. Now, we never close a service without doing an opportunity to give someone to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, make Jesus their Lord. And so, this morning, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, today you know that he loves you so much that he sent Jesus here for you. And you, listen, I'm going to tell you what. He's got a purpose and a plan for every person. And, you know, I'm going to tell y'all before we do this. There's a whole lot of people up there in Washington that God loves them just as much. I have a hard time getting hold of that sometimes. But he does. And he desires that everyone come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that no man perish, but everybody come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we're going to pray a prayer, and everybody in here, the believers are going to pray it with you. But if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, that's the first step to coming into the kingdom and making yourself a child of God. And so we're all going to pray this prayer, and we ask you with every head bowed and every eye closed, y'all say this after me. Father God, thank you for Jesus. I know you sent him, Lord, to die for my sins and for him to rise again. And he's cleansed me from all unrighteousness. So with my mouth, I declare that Jesus is my Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. I repent of my sins and I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart to be my Lord and Savior, and I give you my life from this day forward. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, before we say amen. If today was the day to make Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm just going to count to three, and I'm not going to embarrass you. I mean, you know, it could be someone been going to church for a long time. I won't embarrass anyone. We just want to get you a Bible. And if that's you. So at the count of three, I'd just like you to raise your hand and acknowledge it and let them get you a Bible. Ready? One, two, three. Anybody? Right here? Thank you. Anybody else? Ma'am, y'all look up. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Salvation. Thank you, Jesus. You know, first step. First step. But now things have changed. And you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So you need to just get plugged into a church, get water baptized. When are we doing another water baptism? We'll have one coming up here, but the main thing is get plugged into a church. If this is where, if God's leading you here, man, we want you, and we got Bible class, we got things to help you grow, and we just love to have you because Jesus brought you here today. This is the best church around, we think it is. It is.
Yes.
We believe it. We teach the word, the whole word. We ain't holding nothing back. We don't mind being a little bold. Ricky's bold, Howdy's bold, Corey's bold, and sometimes I'm bold. But thank y'all so much for coming, your attention today. I just, man, really, I mean, this morning, literally sitting there, just I just glanced back over at one time, and I'm like, man, y'all, just joy was just all over you. Don't let go of it, for the joy of the Lord's our strength. Thank y'all.